Folks, I apologize for getting started a little bit behind. I had to show them what happened to me yesterday. Brian, I'll show you the picture. You won't believe me if I tell you. But I call the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with a pledge of allegiance followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Folks, before we do anything else, I'd like to thank, to start off by saying happy birthday to the United States. I hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July. I got to celebrate mine with a 60-foot tree limb falling on my new truck, but that was a glorious celebration. Y'all missed a party, I'm telling you right there. But in all seriousness, I want to make sure I say something because I would not like myself very much if I forget. I hope we all will remember the young Rigsby, young man, Dakota Rigsby, the sailor who lost his life in Fitzgerald. We laid him at rest on Saturday. A life of service to our country and to us. So please keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. All right, do we have an adoption of the agenda?
So two notes.
You got two changes?
Yeah, so if you go to item 11, on the agenda, item 11, it's the new ones that she had, Mr. Weaver, the green ones.
Nine Crossroads Road from Borderline Extension.
Okay. Did you give them green ones?
Okay.
It's the green ones, the green sheets. There are two new business items that I'd like you to consider. It's the design and survey for the Zion Crossroads Waterline Extension. Because you don't have another meeting for a month, we wanted to be able to get these on quickly now. And we'll brief all those and the other two items that are on there. And then you can decide whether you want to actually take a motion to consider.
Up to memory?
Pardon?
Up to memory?
Yes, right.
All right.
So those two are added. And then just one note. If we go too deep into the action matters and we're getting closer, if we see that it's going to take some time, you're not going to be done in a timely manner by 6 or before, you might want to consider moving the FCSS relocation under presentations up, because we've got a bunch of
correct
people that are here for that, and they've got another function to go to.
So, absolutely. And I will remind those folks in the action matters to please keep it less than 10 minutes.
Indeed.
I know sometimes we are very lenient here, but I hope out of respect to the other 9 individuals that are going to be speaking, that we will keep those as brief and as short as possible. Alrighty, now, do we have an adoption of the agenda?
So made.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, and chair votes aye. It's 4-0. Mr. O'Brien absent. I'll let him talk about that if he wants to. Alrighty, special presentation.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we have another community service resolution presentation. This one's from Mr. Richard G. Payne, and so I'd like to call Mr. Payne up front to join you in the front of the front of your tables,
okay,
and we'll present this community service award resolution. Come right up in the front there, Richard. They'll gather around you. So this program, the Community Service Recognition Program, allows the Board of Supervisors to recognize individuals in our community based on their volunteer service. And the nominations come from elected officials, from community members, from organizations or groups. In this case, the board, the constitutional officers and I make a recommendation to the board, and the board decides whether it's a community service certificate or commendation or a community service resolution. In this case, the board has opted for the higher resolution on behalf of the work that Mr. Payne has done in our community. So please, if you'll draw your attention, this is resolution number 07-2017, Community Service Award Resolution honoring Richard G. Payne. Whereas Richard Payne's leadership and service to Fluvanna County is both admirable and worthy of esteem, And whereas Mr. Payne has served as a leader in the Charlottesville and Flavanna Area Tax Aid Program for 11 years and served as the Flavanna Tax Aid Team Leader for 2017. And whereas he has been a persistent and persuasive in advocating for the program to prospective volunteers. And whereas Mr. Payne always came early to help set up for the day and worked late to review and report what was done during the day, and he consistently informed volunteers of problems that occurred, how they were resolved, and other developments that enhanced volunteers' performance. And whereas he regularly coordinated with Charlottesville, Virginia, and National Tax Aid and IRS teams to report problems, suggest solutions, and understand what changes and fixes were being made. And whereas Mr. Payne stimulated volunteer services and community spirit by inspiring others to volunteer, and by always smiling and remaining patient, even when tax returns, the software to prepare them, and on rare occasions, the taxpayers, became difficult. And whereas he always served in the community through a strong support of the Flavanna Leadership Development Program, including helping with tours and auditing the program's financial records. And whereas Mr. Payne still finds time to be available to his family and to serve as an active leader in his church. And now therefore be it resolved on this fifth day of July 2017 that the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors hereby recognizes the significant volunteer and community service contributions of Mr. Richard G. Payne. And be it further resolved that the Flavanna County honors Mr. Payne's volunteer service. The foregoing resolution was duly and regularly adopted by the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors at a meeting held by the board. Signed, J.M. Sheridan, Chair, Flavanna County Board of Supervisors.
Thank you.
We'd like Mr. Payne's family to come too so we can take some other photos. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chair, members of the board, a few things to report. It's kind of slow today. Flavanna Meals on Wheels fortunately got a grant awarded by BAMWorks Fund that will help fund their emergency food bag program and their holiday meal program. So that's a good benefit to our community. The historic courthouse repairs have been completed. You know that the is it a jack beam or one of the beams up in the overhead was shredded. We'll show you in these pictures. And a firm came in and did the repairs. So you can see this beam, the support beam to the king post, to the roof was just shredded and shattered. I don't know how that happened, but maybe long-term wear and tear. But they had to do a lot of shoring on the roof and then stabilizing down below into the courthouse itself from the second floor and did some more work of bringing these hard of pine from the Shenandoah and this 200-year-old heart of pine timbers in, and then they set up the new king post and kind of ready to install it. And then there's the kind of the final view of it as they fix that overhead. So courthouse is safe and back open for business. So a great repair done by Calvin Hickman of Historic Preservation and Restoration. He's done a lot of work for the county in the past and other historic preservation buildings.
That's a good thing Mr. Weaver did such a fine job when he built it.
Yeah, indeed.
That's right.
he was an apprentice then.
Yes.
Apprentice then. The quarterly business lunch and learn went really well. There are about 20 or so attendees that learned about top tips on success in social media for business at the library. It went quite well. The new tourism signs on Highway 15 are up now, the ones right down here at the bottom of the hill, and then on the other side of the Highway 53 intersection. It has had the Cunningham Creek Winery there, but now the Pleasant Grove Park and Museum signs are there as well on 15. Fort Union Fire hosted a fire extrication class in June, and all the local fire companies and rescue agencies participated. And this kind of training will be done if the new Burr building gets approved and we get the grant funds for that. That's some of the types of training they'll do on that site as well. And the Crust and Crumb Bakery is the spotlight on business for this month. They're down on Route 6, and I can attest to how good their baked goods are and their sandwiches. Quite good, and they also do catering too, so you can contact them through their Facebook page or website or email to use their services right down on Route 6 on the north side of Route 6 going towards Scottsville. And then the county and schools fiber project is going along actually quite well. The materials have come in, a lot of materials are on site now and getting ready to work, and they'll be starting to work on the Carysbrook area up to the Abrams building and then up farther north. And the VEVA permits have been applied for, and most of that material you can see is here. So you'll see some digging along the roadways in the next couple months. Safety improvements for the intersection at South Boston Slice Road have been approved. VDOT will plan to do that work in stages. The first stage will involve putting in these sidewalks and then the crosswalks across the intersection. So there'll be a sidewalk on the west side there, and then coming across to the CVS Plaza, and then back over to the Dollar General side of the street. So they'll put those in first, and then they'll come back in and put the pedestrian controls following that. So it'll be a good improvement to that lighted intersection. And the EMT graduation, the latest EMT graduation, is at Lake Monticello Volunteer Rescue Squad on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. I've sent that to you already, and in case you're interested in attending that ceremony of the graduating class. Public Works, what I'd like to do is just get your concurrence on this. You approved two new Public Works positions in the budget. Both of them are to start January 1st. So it'd be 6 months for one position and 6 months for the other position. We'd like to change that to one hiring in October, so it'd be 9 months, and one hiring the April 1st, which would be 3 months. So it'd still be 12 months, and actually the less expensive of those two is the one that would be the 9 months one, but it'll help on staffing, and it doesn't, it'll end up
same
being
budget.
A little bit less, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to let you know that. And then Taylor Ridge Estates, you remember that's the one where you help the homeowners get those roads up to speed. They were put in the system. We put up a road bond for that. The road bond's now been released. It's been a year, and so that road bond has been released. So that's great. And I'll be on vacation the last week of July, and Mr. Dahl will cover. And my granddaughter and I are going to be at Disneyland, so
it
should be great. Perfect in July. Can't wait.
Yeah, perfect.
No heat whatsoever. Yeah. We leave.
Going to the golf
day
course.
You arrive, we leave.
I'm going to the golf course. She's going to the pool. So, anyway, any questions I can answer to the board? There's your next meetings, too. Remember, nothing else this month, and then your regular meeting scheduled in August and September.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Have you heard anything on the grant for the computer cables? We were figuring that 90% chance
no,
that we would
you
get
probably
that.
Won't hear anything on that for at least till next spring.
Okay.
The process, I think, have been taking me between 6 months and 18 months to get final word back from the feds and from the state. So we probably won't hear anything official on that until next spring sometime.
Okay. Thank you.
So, but as soon as we any kind of updates on that, we'll get it to you for sure right away.
All righty. We'll now open the first round of public comments. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes and direct it to the board. If you're here to talk about something else, please wait till that subject comes up. Anyone wishing to speak may approach the microphone at this time. No one wishing to speak, I will now close the first round of public comments. Okay, public hearings, they are all scheduled for 7 p.m. We will now move to action matters. Once again, I'd like to remind those that are presenting, we'd like to keep those to 10 minutes, please, because we have 10 of them. Do not keep the other 9 people waiting. The first one is H, County Records Management Policy, Mr. Payne.
Mr. Chairman, I expect Ms. Harris is going to interrupt me because she knows more about this than I do.
Well, we want to let Ms. Harris present, but she can't type and present the same.
This policy has been drafted by my office together with Ms. Harris, and it reflects a need to comply with the Virginia Public Records Act, which has been recently updated. It's a good thing to do because it gives us systematization in what how we keep our records. It has a number of different categories of records, including things that are not records. That would be things like copies of brochures, you know, they're in multiple copies, individual copies. Then there are permanent records, which are required to be kept essentially forever. And then there are varying degrees of non-permanent records. And the purpose of this really is to make sure that the things that need to be kept forever are properly kept. Things can be weeded out over time, but those can be done too. So I think you find the details of this are pretty self-explanatory.
Now I'm going to ask the most important question. Sure. Ms. Harris, you have
proof.
To me, a lot more work there.
I think she's going to be
it's a lot more work, but I think it makes it a lot cleaner.
It's not a lot more work.
It documents the work that we're already really doing, yeah, that Ms. Harris is doing, and then the other records administrators that are records managers that report to her on records for the county.
It has some advantages. So, for example, if there's a question about where a document is, maybe it was one of those that's a non-permanent record and it's kept for 10 years and then it's destroyed. Somebody comes in and looks for it. It was destroyed in due course. We don't have any issue about, you know, the county's trying to hide something or the county should have preserved it or whatever it might be. It's a good set of rules that I think it will be manageable.
Now, the electronic records, are they only the historical ones that you really want to keep?
No.
Which ones are?
The historical records, the electronic records can be both.
Anything.
It can be anything.
I was going to keep it short.
All right.
The state says that we can make any record electronic.
Okay.
So at the moment, we are transferring as much as we can over to electronic copies. There's some things we won't. If they're legal documents that we need an original signature. One of the things about the policy is the state declares when we have to destroy it, and they don't give us a choice about whether we destroy it. Some things have a 3-year retention. So every piece of mail that comes in for the chair of the board has permanent retention. We have no option but to keep it forever, but I scan everything and toss the paper. The same thing goes for the county administrator. Most other things have a 3, 5, 7 year retention, and we have to follow it. There is no choice to do that. So we don't get to say, well, we'd like to keep that one for the next 100 years, and the state says, do you have good reason to? And we don't, so it goes away. We can move things into permanent retention. You're not ever going to request we do that with something that has a shorter retention, because you cannot move it once you've moved it into historical. So that's my quick one.
Because that's what y'all were doing that one day when I came in. The lady was helping.
Yeah,
and there was boxes on top of boxes.
Yeah,
and they were
so
trying
that's
to
fun.
Clear it
yes.
out. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So,
any questions?
Where do you store all the... I know you're going to have enough.
Right now, they're in Cheryl's office.
Okay.
My office.
All right.
But we have county records, too, in the planning department down below, and then both long-term records, some of them are stored downstairs.
All right. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the Fluvanna County Records Management Policy.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Let's keep them rolling that fast. My golly. Aye. Record retention and file access agreement.
Mr. Chairman, this is sort of a follow-on to the first one. We have something approximating 30 years worth of files that belong to the county in our file cabinets in Charlottesville. There are a lot of them that are simply obsolete. They will never look in them again. They could be destroyed. Others are very important and need to be kept. I won't say permanently because that's a magic word, but
administratively useful.
Yeah, they're administratively useful, and there are a lot of them that we simply don't want to get rid of for excuse me for any time. But what this agreement is to make explicit what we're going to do, and that is we're going to have the county pick up a big segment of those files, and they're going to be scanned and either eliminated altogether or kept for an indefinite period, not permanently. These are a little bit different than the others because they're legal issues, and it may surprise you, but we have files that still need to be referred to today that are 25 and 30 years old because somebody got a variance or somebody challenged the county on something or whatever it might be. So this will help me with a big storage problem that we have, and it will be really part of this whole effort that you had in the other. So
are you keeping a copy, or are you sending all of them down here?
No, what we're doing is we're sending them here, but there is a provision that we can access
from here.
That we, the lawyers, can access.
Yes.
So that if anybody were to, if it were necessary for us to go refer to something that was old, we can come in and get the electronic copy.
So how do you know which ones need to be tossed?
It's a matter of judgment.
From Kelly, or you?
Me.
Okay.
All righty. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the file access agreement between the County of Fluvanna and Codis LLP of the Fluvanna County Attorney, and approve destruction of files of the County Attorney in accordance with the records management policy and with the consent of both the County Attorney and the Records Office.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Columbia Area Renewal Effort Task Force Charter.
So at the last community meeting, I presented a draft charter to the assembled members. And there were 41 attendees that night, I think 10 of which were staff members and 31 from the community. And this task force charter, this draft, was modified to some degree. There are a few provisions changed in it, but largely this is what the assembled group recommended to present to the Board of Supervisors. So that chart that was in your package is the marching orders for the task force that runs from now through December 31st, unless extended by the board.
Any questions? Okay, can we get a motion?
I move to approve the Columbia Area Renewal Effort Task Force Chapter.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now all this speed will slow down. The appointments to the Columbia Area Renewal Effort Task Force.
So in this case, in your package, when the package is published, you had four nominations in the package. But because this is a relatively time-sensitive issue, when applications came in up through Friday of last week, we had a paper copy prepared and delivered to each one of you. So there were 10 applications total. The reason we wouldn't want to necessarily wait like we would normally do is because you're on the meeting for another month, and then the first official task force meeting, I think, is on July 17th. So the 10 names of applications that you received on Friday that were delivered to you are the ones shown on the screen here. These are the 10 people on there. Now, there are only 8 seats available on the task force, but what you may want to do is consider Mr. Shelley from Shellbeck Excavating and Mr. Zimmer, who works for the Virginia Department of Forestry, to be in the group of associated businesses or things, and that way these other 8 members, if you choose to appoint them, you could choose the other 8 members. What I'm hoping to not do is make the task force too big because it gets unwieldy, but the 8 we have and the other 2 all are great candidates, I think, to serve on the task force, but I would hope that you would be able to approve these now, even though it's outside of your normal routing. You got them on Friday to go to review the packages.
Also, Melissa Kenny is on the interface.
Interfaith
Council.
Right, and she could serve as a representative from that, but I haven't gotten a name for the Interfaith Council yet. In this case, we could swap them around. As long as we don't get too many, you're going to pull in periodic subject matter experts for that anyway.
That's what I was going to say with Mr. Zimmer and
right.
With Isaac.
Right.
So basically, all 10 would be on.
You could. I wouldn't see any problem with that because I would just put the Mr. Shelley and Mr. Zimmer in the category of other experts that are members of the task force and can vote on the task force,
and make the other eight citizen representatives.
Right.
And this is Shoemaker's the one that lives right on the line. She lives in Goochland.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. There are a number of people that live on Goochland side of Columbia, but are immersed in the community and what goes on there. So I don't see any particular problem.
You're in Goochland,
right.
Past the church.
And that I expect there'll be more than this at the meetings, you know, besides our staff, because other people who are interested and may just not have the time to serve all the way.
Where will you all be?
Fort Canyon Community Center.
Okay.
And it's the third Monday.
Third Monday.
The responsibilities, the description of your purpose, and et cetera.
Uh-huh.
You have, I know you have it. I read them, but is that in this one? Basically, your purpose is the environment. You don't, I mean, it says citizen engagement, promote citizen engagement, support renewal and cleanup efforts. Are we looking at the structures where the citizens are living? Are they anywhere in the task responsibility, or is that not something we want to get into because they are renters?
That's going to be something
it's certainly going to come up, but the task force won't have any authority to make changes inside someone's property.
Mm-hmm.
The county may have the authority to make changes to a property if the property is uninhabitable or decrepit or not up to, you know, health department standards.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue pursuing that. But it is really outside the view of the task force to do individual enforcement. They don't have an enforcement authority. That would come from the county staff and then ultimately from the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
But it's definitely high on the list. You're going
to
be getting some updated ordinance recommendations to change our county ordinances. I gave another package to the planning department this morning Green County's been working on theirs as well, and so I pulled some of those samples and then some other counties. But your planning department will be getting that through the planning commission and then on to the board for adoption to update our ordinances to reflect how you want to legally enforce the standards you have in this community.
At our meeting, that was definitely a topic of conversation.
Yep.
But it's one of those things
right.
We're not going to have anything to do.
But
turn to the county or bring it to the county's attention.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion for the 8 citizen representatives and then the 2 business?
So if you don't have your list, if you just say, I move to appoint and I'll pull up this document.
It's numbers 2 through 9. Because Mr. Zimmer was last and Mr. Shelley was first. It's the second one through the 9th one.
I move to appoint Susan Schumann, James Knetberg, John Hammond, Derek Mitchell, Melissa Kenny, John Melfund, Suzanne Mayfund, John and Suzanne Mayfund, and Robin Duncan to the board, to the Columbia Area Renewal Effort Care Task Force with terms beginning immediately and end December 31st, 2017.
Second. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
And on the record acknowledgement, these other two members, candidates here, Mr. Zimmer and Mr. Shelley, will serve on the task force as well, but they'll serve in the local business and agency categories.
Correct.
Should we make individual motions?
I don't think I need that, because most of those aren't appointed by the boards. They're appointed by their agency coming forward. So
when you see the Department of Forestry for Mr. Zimmer,
right,
that's one of the things we talked about.
I think it'd be well if we'd ask Mr. Shelley to fill out the complete application.
Okay.
Just to have it on record.
Hot dogs.
Uh-huh. Well, we're finally getting to somewhere.
Well, he's
yes.
Okay. We'll get back to him and see if we can do it. He's not really in your case now. He's not applying for that member position,
right. That's
where
right.
He normally filled that out. He's a business rep now.
That's right.
So when are the buildings coming out?
I gave you an update last meeting, and I can't remember what I said. No,
I can't either.
No, the invitation for bids is being written.
Oh, okay.
The surveys and the title search are being completed for those four properties. As soon as those are completed, we'll begin the closure process to close them, the properties, mm-hmm. and simultaneously put out the invitation for bids to accept a contractor, to select a contractor to tear those structures down. So I still think that we will be closing sometime in the next 30 days, and we'll be beginning destruction sometime in the next 60 or 90 days.
So. All righty, thank you very much, sir. We will now move to L, Virginia Victims Fund Memorandum of Agreement and EMS Cost Recovery Policy Revision. Ms. Elliott.
Good evening. What is before you is just a revision to the cost recovery program policy to allow us to accept funds for ambulance transport from the Virginia Victims Fund. That's a situation where a person is a victim of crime and has had an ambulance ride. Normally their insurance would be billed for that ride, but because they were a victim of crime, we don't bill their insurance. It goes either through the perpetrator's insurance or through the Virginia Victims Fund. And this agreement allows us to accept what they offer, which is about 60% of the rate. Like Medicare will pay a certain, you know, percentage of it. This fund also does that. And right now I think we have three cases that are pending for this. So once this is accepted by you, then we can get those things processed.
And I see two motions, so it's one for each one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions from your board?
I move to approve the Virginia Victims Fund Memorandum of Agreement to accept a negotiated payment for ambulance services for victims of crime and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Motion number 2.
I move to approve the revised EMS cost recovery program policy as presented, incorporating the hardship waiver policy for victims of crime.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. M, letter of intent for Spillman Technologies Incorporated. Ms. Toler.
Computer-aided dispatch public safety software solution. This is for a letter of intent. In November 2016, an RFP was issued and then closed December 2016. Three firms were chosen to do interviews with the committee: Spillman Technologies, Alert Public Safety, and Zerper. Following months of demonstrations, interviews, reference checks, a decision was made to move forward with Spillman Technologies. They are a Motorola Solutions company. Complex negotiations are still going on between the county and Spillman. I am confident we'll be able to wrap those up by the first meeting in August, so you'll get a look at the contract at that point, but they are still ongoing. What we need is this, that the Spillman has requested this letter of intent, and it will get us on their schedule so that we are in line to get our implementation date by July 1st, 2018. Our current CAD software will no longer be serviceable as of December 2018. So that we want to get it done at least 6 months ahead of time so we have a little cushion and we're not running up against it. This letter in no way binds us to Spillman. It only allows them to put us on their schedule. If something happens, we do not continue with Spillman, they just take us off the schedule. Any questions?
Sheriff, is this the group that, Sheriff, is this the group that y'all had that came in there and sat down with the day in the dispatch? Okay.
And suppose we don't get on that list and our CAD system goes up. Well, that wouldn't happen.
It would be pretty disastrous.
It would help. Right.
No, well,
okay. All right.
I would hope not.
The good thing about this is it allows us to go forward with scheduling, even though you haven't agreed to and approved a contract yet, but there's non-binding. So they, because they see the good faith contingency from the county, will put us in their queue so they can schedule it. But the contract just isn't ready yet. We're still negotiating with them and with the county attorney's office to make sure the language is correct. It just is a matter of time, but we don't want to wait until the August meeting and not be in their schedule. So.
I move the Board of Supervisors authorize the County Administrator to sign a non-binding letter of intent to Spillman Technologies, Inc., a Motorola Solutions Company, to continue contract negotiations and in order to ensure an implementation schedule July 1st, 2018.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you,
ma'am. MC, Sheriff's Office Compression Pad. Sheriff Hess.
Afternoon, Mr. Chair, board members. Tonight we have two proposals for you. The first addresses the compression pay. As you're aware, this year the General Assembly agreed to a 2% across the board increase and then a compression increase for deputies in the amount of $80 per year of service as long as you had 3 or more years of service. $65 for dispatchers, and there's jailers are included, but we don't have jails, so we'll discuss that. But what we have is, this was a lot of information. Gail worked very hard. We worked with the Comm Board trying to figure out the years of service that people had with the Comm Board so that we could get the correct compensation from the Comm Board. We had some people that had as much as 10 years of service at another sheriff's office, but they didn't get credit because of the lapse in the time. They, you know, like anything that's written up, there's always so many restrictions. But anyway, after going through and coming up with the final numbers, you will see that the total amount requested for compression for FY18 is $19,910. The Comp Board is going to fund $14,740 of that amount. And what they're not funding are the additional deputies that aren't carried on the Comp Board salaries. So that's what that difference is. In the FY17 budget, they estimated at about $2,800
and one note on the screen, it says $2,300. It actually is $2,300. It was just a typo, so it's a $500 difference. So you only budgeted $2,300 for compression pay, not $2,800.
Okay.
So it's a $500 difference, but it you'll see on the screen that $2,300 and then it's $2,870 is the ask.
So 2870 is the amount that we would need to complete the compression pay. Now we'll address the stipend portion of it, which is going to help some with the $2,800. Currently, the board has approved and has funded the last several years 3 master deputy positions and 4 FTO positions. Master deputy positions are career development slots provided under a criteria from the Comp Board, depending on the size of your agency as to how many positions you're allowed to have. What a master deputy has to do on a yearly basis, this is not a continuous pay for that individual. It's something they must renew on a yearly basis. They have to have additional hours of education. They cannot have any disciplinary write-ups, and a vehicle accident, several other things can get them put out of the program. So it kind of sets the bar higher, and gives an individual an opportunity after so many years of service to increase their career development level. And so it's a yearly thing, that they, a yearly program that they have to apply for in the office. In the past, Comm Board has funded as many as four of these positions for the county. With, when money goes away, those programs obviously go away. But you all were kind enough to fund three of those and four FTO. A field training officer is somebody who trains the new officers, and as they come on, they have additional duties and such, and that is what we were providing, $1,000 stipend for those individuals as long as they perform those duties. What we're asking for is one additional master deputy and one additional FTO. The compensation board for this FY18 year will help fund this master deputy program. So with two positions, so their total cost that we would need to have the program work with the four master deputies and the five FTOs would be $19,030.79. Comp Board's going to pay their portion of $6,726. You currently have funded $13,450 in the last few years. That brings a net savings of $1,145.21, which would be deducted from the $2,870, which we would be asking for both programs to be successful. We would need $1,724.79.
And that's why we wanted these briefed together, because one's an ask and one is a reduction, but net is an ask of $1,700.
Right, but in this one, you're asking $2,370.
Yeah, the first one is $2,870.
Right.
And then the other one is actually an $1,100 savings.
Yeah, that's the
So the net, yeah. We're just briefing them together because the net is $1,700. Yeah, right. So we've got two motions pulled out for those. This is the first one. Now on your screen, you can see the $2,870. So please use this motion.
I move to accept the funding for the compensation board of compression pay for sheriff's office staff in the amount of $14,700. Further move to fund the county's additional FY18 cost for compression pay in the amount of $2,870. Such funding to come from the FY18 personnel.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next motion.
I move to accept the FY18 funding for Master Deputy from the State Compensation Board in the amount of $6,726 to partially fund the FY18 Master Deputy position.
Second.
Motion made again by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
And now we have Zions Crossroads Water Project Amendment to Project Agreement Number 3.
So, Mr. Chair and members, we're going to brief O, P, and the new items, the new agenda items, the new business items, all four of those in sequence in this briefing, because they're all tied together with the dollars
of
the project.
Break them apart.
So we're going to brief all four of them, and then you'll go back and individually do the motions for each one.
All right, Ms. Tolan.
The action matters. These are the items listed on the action matters first. Project agreement number 3. This is with Dewberry. This agreement is required to complete additional services associated with the wetland and stream delineation portion of the project. The environmental services contained in project agreement 3 originally included that the boundaries and jurisdictional wetlands and the ordinary high water mark of stream channels be flagged with survey tape and or pins. The additional environmental services shall include locating the delineation flags using a handheld GPS device. The collected points will be utilized along with traditional survey data to create a wetland waters of the U.S. exhibit for the designers. Make their job a little easier. We are asking for $4,500 for that supplement for the amendment, supplemental appropriation from unassigned fund balance. That'll increase the cash funded budget to $676,710. And You'll see down here, this includes everything I'm about to show you. So you'll see all that again. The second item is project agreement number 4 with Bowman. This agreement is required for easement platting revisions, $2,980, to the overall easement plat for recordation due to changing the easements on 13 properties. Also, the Department of Corrections is requiring a separate recorded platting for their property, which was not accounted for in the original surveying cost, which is $3,900. So we're asking for $6,880 from supplemental appropriation from the unassigned fund balance, increasing the cash budget to $683,590. And the two new items with Dewberry, project agreement number 11. This proposal includes design services to extend the water line from the DOC facility westward along Route 250 to Memory Lane and south along Memory Lane to extend the water service to this area. The water line extension includes approximately 4,425 linear feet of 12-inch water line and associated items. I don't know how to say that, sorry.
That's a Wayne word.
So for this item, we're asking for $51,330 supplemental appropriation from unassigned fund balance, increasing the cash funded budget to $734,920. And the last item is the surveying for Bowman. Project agreement number 5 with Bowman. This is to complete the surveying required for the water extension design from the DOC facility westward along Route 250 to Memory Lane and south along Memory Lane. This includes the established supplemental GPS control and traverse, courthouse research, right-of-way and property reconnaissance and location, and easement plat for recordation. And that we're looking at $22,950 supplemental appropriation from unassigned fund balance, increasing the cash budget to $757,870. And that's all the items we're looking at tonight, so that would be the final cash funded budget.
So those are the 4 things that are on the agenda, O, P, and the 2 new agenda items. That's why I wanted those briefed together, because if you look at this bottom chart, what you're seeing is the original, up until today, you had funded $672,210 in cash funding for the design of the project and the preliminary engineering. Then we've added, if you approve these 4 items, it adds $4,500, $6,880, $5,130, $3,330, and the $22,950. So that's what you're asking. We're asking to approve these 4 items down here.
All right, any questions?
And just one thing just for the public to know too, just if you go back, just when it says the revised budget, that's just the portion of the budget that was funded with county cash, that's not the whole
this
budget.
This is just design funding, largely. Design and engineering funding.
And we're getting an additional, basically, 8 cents of a mile.
Right. Yeah, on the design. We'll
right.
talk separately
yeah,
about
yeah.
the construction
right.
and all that. So there's 2 motions with each of these, and so there's a fair amount to read.
Are there any questions, or you want to just let Mr. Robach
read? I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $4,500 from unassigned fund balance design cross river water and sewer system project budget with the funds necessary for an amendment to project agreement number 3 to complete additional services associated with the wetland and stream remediation portion of the project.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. O'Brien?
Any discussion? None of them? Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve an amendment to project agreement number 3 between Fluvanna County and Dewberry Engineers for additional services associated with the wetland stream delineation portion of the Science Crossroads water and sewer system project totaling $4,500 and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $6,880 from unassigned fund balance to design cross river water and sewer system project budget with the funds necessary for project agreement number 4 for easement planning revisions and court and record plating for the Department of Corrections.
Second. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, 5-0.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve project agreement number 4 between Savannah County and Bowman Consulting Group for additional services associated with the easement plating revisions and record plating for the Department of Corrections for the Science Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project, totaling $6,880, and further authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as informed by the County Attorney. I have a question. Are they both supposed to be $6,880?
Yes.
Yes.
This is both different two motions.
Wait a second.
Each amount.
Wait a second. Let's check and make sure.
You said it was going to be two motions with each.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
$6,880. Right.
Because the first one was both 45.
All right.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
If you want to go ahead and just do the new business motions now.
I move the Board of Supervisors. Any objections?
I was going to say, any questions?
No.
All right, go ahead, Mr. O'Brien.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $51,303 from unassigned fund balance to the Science Crossroads Water and Sewer System Project budget, with the funds necessary for project agreement number 11 to complete additional services associated with the water line extension design.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve project agreement number 11 between Savannah County and Dewberry Engineers for additional services associated with the water line extension design and design crossroads water and sewer system project, totaling $51,303, and further authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as informed by the County Attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much.
Well, this one now.
You got too quick putting them up there. I thought he would have read that.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $22,950 from unassigned fund balance to the Science Crossroad Water and Sewer System Project budget with the funds necessary for project agreement number 5 to complete additional services associated with the water line extension survey.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve project agreement number 5 between Savannah County and Bowman Consulting Group for additional services associated with water line extension survey and the Science Crossroad Water and Sewer System Project, totaling $22,950, and further authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as informed by the County Attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. And right now, I would like to personally thank everybody that presented. You gave us everything we had to hear. You gave us nothing extra that we did that was repeated or anything else. Thank you very much for getting us through 10 faster than we usually get through 1.
I'd like to discuss that with you.
And you deferred next meeting.
You all can say thank you as many times as you want. We don't mind.
I'm telling you, I do greatly appreciate that. Next is going to be presentations. Tab Q, Farm Museum Update, Ms. Tolbert.
Okay. Give you an update about the Farm Heritage Museum. In May 2017, an invitation for bid was issued for the design and construction of the building for the Farm Heritage Museum. One submission was received totaling $425,000. After discussions with the contractor, the Historical Society, it was decided to reject this offer and search for a more simple and cost-effective design. A new IFB with more clear specifications will be issued. The Historical Society, Mr. May, and county staff have narrowed down the designs to 2. We're working with the designer to customize them to our needs. This is design choice 1. We've asked them to adjust the plans to include barn doors and windows along the side with a porch on the same side. The interior of it will be completely open all the way to the top, and it will lengthen the building to about 80 feet. And this is design choice number 2. And the requested changes we're looking at is putting barn doors and windows under the porch, doors on both ends of the building, to be barn doors that'll open up instead of sliding up. Removing the garage at the rear of the building. The interior will open up all the way to the top and also extending it to about 80 feet. Currently, the Historical Society has $188,981.86 set aside for the project. The county has allocated $15,000 for the project, which has already been used for the site plan. Historical Society will reimburse the county for the two design costs. Design choice number one for the plans is $1,640, and design choice that should say number two is going to be $800, and that includes all of the customization that we're asking them for. And once we receive those, we'll put those one of those out for bid and see where we end up at that point. That was another option we were looking at, too, is getting bids on both and deciding once we
So we may have to put the designs out to find out what the most cost-effective solution is, because the Historical Society, Mr. May, and others in the community are quite amenable to finding whatever the best solution that's affordable and within the dollars that are available. And so if those two designs can be put out for invitation for bid, we'll get bids back on both kinds, and then we'll see where we can pick and choose. So,
would you expect the design of one would be more or less expensive?
Well, there may be a little bit more wood just height-wise in one versus the other, but it really depends on the kind of materials they choose, and so it's going to be hard to tell, and it depends on contractor to contractor. So
we're really looking at about the same size building both times, with the exception of design choice one really is a two-story building that we're just opening the floor up, so it's open all the way up. So there may be, you know, some more costs associated with that building, but we really won't know until we have a professional look at both designs.
But we're trying to get this down in the, you know, 200, 250 range, in that range, rather than, you know, 400 plus. And the Historical Society certainly wants to do the same, wants to get it down to something that's manageable.
What about the inside? Once you choose the building, is there a design for the inside depending on the kind of material? I mean, the antiques, farm antiques?
The inside is going to be as simple as it gets. And then it'll be the Historical Society's will bring in the Mr. May's equipment that he's donating.
And do the interpretive design, because
right.
The interpretive design will have to be done as well. Mm-hmm. It'll largely be a concrete slab floor inside, though,
yeah.
with material sitting on it.
Our intent is to make the inside as open as possible, though, so they have plenty of room to.
And there won't be any restrooms or offices inside. It's really just a walk-through.
And there won't even
museum.
Be any running water to it. There will be electricity, but it's right across from
the
restrooms that are there, so there's no need for restrooms to be put into it.
You have lengthened building to around 80 feet. How wide is it?
We have the site plan set up for 36 foot wide, then a 12 foot wide porch. And that's how we have it set up at this point.
So on design number one, that's on the right hand side, actually, a porch. We just don't see it.
Right, it's not in the design.
Yeah, sticking out here along
yeah.
that would be
you'll
another
have overhead
slab.
And shade. And,
right.
And then three or four doors along here, big doors to come in and out of, and then porch. Very similar to this one, this piece right here.
Right.
But there's no doors underneath there either, and that will be doors there.
And would that design also include the windows at the back, what do you call those, solar windows?
Skylights.
So we'll have, we have asked them to put skylights in just to allow some extra lighting inside of it.
And then this garage on the back gets cut off. So we'll see when the designs come back, but that's where we're at now. So the invitation for bid will go back out fairly soon with those two new design, and then we'll accept bids coming in on both of those designs.
All right, any questions? Mr. Moss, did the Historical Society want to say anything?
Just one quick comment. About $188,000 that we have in the bank for this project.
Yes, sir.
I just want to point out that only $70,000 of it has come from grants. All the rest of the money has come from the people of Flint.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So you're talking about $118,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about individuals, I'm also talking about businesses. The citizens of this county have put in a tremendous fundraising effort. We're continuing that. And I want to thank the county staff for their incredible cooperation trying to keep this thing alive and moving. Thank you.
Are you still looking for more grants, though, even up to now?
I've sort of exhausted my old
friends.
I have a $10,000 grant out.
pulling the tractor with the little dudes. They were renting space on the side of the little barrels. Kids could take rides at Old Farm Day. No big ones don't fit in there. I can tell you that much. If I tried, I'd have been stuck. Thank you, sir. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, R, the FCSS relocation. Mr. Nichols.
Okay, so just an update, and there are many representatives here from FCSS and other organizations that can speak to this topic too if needed, and are really supportive of the direction we're trying to head. The current food bank down at the Carriersburg Complex, this is social services right here on the screen. This is the public works shop workshop. The old bus garage and you can call it CTE then, but whatever it was.
Shop,
yeah. And then the two existing buildings for FCSS are located on the back side here. And then they overflow into the corner of this building, into the public works maintenance shop. What the proposal would be is to free up county space in this building on this site by moving the food bank over to this location behind the main parking lot. People wouldn't have to be parking in this gravel lot anymore. They could park right here in the blacktop lot, and they're directly adjacent across from the MACA thrift store. To do that, this is a kind of an overhead drawing of where these new buildings would be. One of the existing buildings, this one right here, is a shed type building, and that hopefully could be moved over to this location. But FCSS would be looking to put two new shed type buildings on this property back here behind the parking lot and connecting with the walkway here and with walkways for folks to walk up to them to load deliveries or to accept clients coming in. The second building that's up here top, building A that was on that previous drawing, is a stick built building and really can't be moved. So the proposal would be that the existing stick built building, this A right down there, stays in place, and the county would like to acquire that. We need that space for the public workshop anyway, and it can't be moved, and it's a way for us to get some additional space to do small repairs or storage in there, but the building, since it can't be used, we would propose to purchase it. If B couldn't be moved, if that shed building couldn't be moved for some reason, we would propose to purchase that as well along there, but as it stands now, that would be planned to be moved to the new site. The FCSS plans to acquire those two new shed buildings from a contractor in Buckingham County. And they've already done some work back and forth with them, and it's a relatively simple process other than the cost to pay for those. It's a relatively simple process to get them here and get them sited. Public Works would do a little bit of basic site prep here just for our purposes, but there's no water and sewer hookup required. It's a separate electrical hookup, just like it is for the existing buildings. They have a separate electrical hookup, and they get their own buildings directly. They don't come through the county at all. They would need a building permit, and I don't know if there's any way the fee could be reduced or waived. I don't think so, based on state law, but the county attorney can chime in on that. And then we'd need a minor site plan, but we've already pretty much got that ready to go to support them. Sorry. I might make it through or not. So what if this moves forward, we'd have to execute a new agreement with the Fluvanna Christian Service Society. I don't have any records before 1997, but in 1997 the board agreed and then extended the agreement in 2000 to have FCSS sited on that property at the behind the social services complex there at Carriersburg. A new draft 5-year agreement has already been created. It just needs to be buffed up and polished up. I think it was in 2014 that was drafted. And then we'd have to include in there some type of annual rent or lease agreement at fair market value, because the state code doesn't allow us to exempt a sectarian organization from the cost. Now, that is still relatively nominal. We work with the commissioner's office to figure out what that rate is. The commissioner's already done some calculations on it. But the only exceptions in the state code, it says such institution or association shall not be controlled in whole or in part by any church or sectarian society, unless you do it by fair market value. You can't donate and give to them. The exceptions are the YMCA, YWCA, Habitat, and Salvation Army. That's the exceptions that happen to be in state code and have been in there for at least two decades because the state code was that way back in 1997 as well. But, sorry. But so you'd have to have an agreement to have the FCSS continue on site. I would propose making it a 5-year agreement with automatic renewals, but we'd have to, at those renewal times, we'd have to assess the fair market value for rental or lease of that property. We need a separate purchase agreement for either one or both of those buildings, either A and B or just A. And then what we really need tonight is an affirmative commitment from the board to allow this to go forward and happen. And that's why we want county attorney to comment, because then the FCSS can begin working on their fundraising and grant applications to be able to get the funds to acquire those two new buildings. Those two buildings that would be delivered on site would be set up on site, the other would be moved over, and that the function then would be ready to go to serve the public, and then the building would be returned back, the rest of the building in public works would be returned back to us, and we would acquire that second. But the commitment tonight would be, there's no motion for you, but the commitment tonight would be that yes, you think this is reasonable, this is the way you want to go, so we can then prepare the agreements, work with FCSS, figure out timing, and then they'd be on a future agenda for the board to consider.
And FCSS stands for Flavanna Christian Service Society.
Right.
I looked at that and I thought it was Flavanna County Social Service.
Yeah, that would be easier. Yeah, that would be much easier, but the Flavanna Christian Service Society, because it is a sectarian organization, I don't know of a way, and County Attorney and I have talked about this, to be able to exempt a lease payment that is at fair market value. But if you're really only taking the square footage of where those buildings are on grass property back there that's never going to be used for really anything else from a county perspective, the valuation is very low. And we're talking, you know, a few hundred dollars a year.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if any of y'all have ever hauled food over there or not. Where they're going to be located, seeing this, is so much easier to get to.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've gone over there with a busload of food from all the different schools before. And to walk back to the back.
Well, the configuration also supports Happy Face, because they'll have room to store the things they need to store there at site. And so it's a good move all around. Mrs. Hughes is here that can speak to this, and other members of the food bank support team would be glad to speak to this if the board wants to hear the discussion.
Is everybody familiar with Happy Face, what they do there? I know you are, Ms. Buck. Happy Face is where they collect toys, used toys from all across the county, and clean them and fix them and make Christmas for those who are less fortunate. I can tell you right now, I want to thank them up front for everything that they do, because everything they do is just for the people of our county.
Yep.
Thank you.
I can still remember my mama sitting there washing stuffed animals just so they could be and take them and take it pride in it. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And I look right there and I see many people that we've helped, and I've got Helping Hands back this year, so call. That's a class I came over and helped with.
So I'm not sure if you want to hear from any of the members that are here or if you have any questions.
Ms. Hughes, would you like to speak? I know you're up front. We were going along so fast, I'd call Mr. Hammond, but he hangs out with Bill too much.
He has to actually get out of here, so it's okay. He's going to be going soon. He's got another meeting.
The only thing I'd like to speak on is the fact that we are non-sectarian, because we represent Christian churches. We represent Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Catholic, Christian. So we are not a specific church, just like the YMCA is not a specific church. The Salvation Army is not a specific church. And so I don't understand, or we don't understand, why we have to be penalized for that. Because we're a small organization. We received a notice saying that we didn't have a hospital or nursing home that we supported. We support thousands of people in this community every year. We had over 2,000 people that we gave food to last year. We also have paid about $6,000 or $7,000 in rent and utilities, house payments, medical, things like that, and what we do in its total, people give us the contributions. We have no money. And so even a couple hundred dollars is hardship on us, because all the money we take in, we put back to the community. We also give a $500 scholarship to a graduating senior, but that doesn't come from the community. That comes from the Savannah Christian Service Society. We all donate the money to that.
Don't y'all help people sometimes with fuel bills or something?
Oh, with electric bills?
Electric bills.
Rent, bills that they have, other bills that they have to survive, particularly in the winter and the summer with heat and air conditioning. And we also do help out the seniors at the holidays. We give them bags. When the children come to the Happy Face, we provide big, huge bags of food for each one of those kids. The Catholic Church at the same time comes to our Happy Face, and they do give out coats to the children, because a lot of them don't have coats. So we are totally, you know, under contributions. We are not representing a specific church. We are just representing Christian people in the county through them. So that's my only comment, that we don't understand why the YMCA can have a 4-year lease for $1 a year when they are for profit and we get no profit. A lot of it comes out of our own pockets, and the rest comes from the community. And we have to raise the money from the community to build these buildings.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hughes.
So do we have any, it's going to, what's the difference between them and YMCA?
YMCA is specifically exempted, and they're not.
Specifically, and they're not.
So are we required by law
to charge?
To charge.
No,
or can
no,
we
it's
set?
Not, it's not a question of that. The statute prohibits the county making donations to, the words used in the statute, are sectarian societies. And there are exceptions for the YMCA, the YWCA, the Salvation Army, Habitat for Humanity, and there are various other things in there. But those are specifically exempted by the statute. There was the General Assembly made that decision. You didn't, but you were bound by.
So it could cost. So we really don't know what the cost would be. I think you mentioned something.
If I take guess now, it's about $600 a year.
Can they not just come up during budget season and request it?
No, because they're a sectarian organization by this definition. And read the first sentence. Any locality may make appropriations of public funds, of personal property, or of any real estate and donations to Virginia Indigent Healthcare Trust Fund and to any charitable institution or association located within their respective limits and or outside the limits if such institution or association provides services to residents of the localities. So you think this organization absolutely does and it clearly meets that standard, except the very next sentence says, however, such institution or association shall not be controlled in whole or in part by any church or sectarian society. It's the definition of sectarian society that comes into play. If this were approved in their current status, then the next time a Jewish organization or a Muslim organization or a Buddhist organization comes forward, you would have to essentially fall in line and do the same thing. You wouldn't have much legs to stand on. But this has been state law for at least since before 1997.
All the other nonprofits are non-sectarian.
Right. For instance, MACA is not a religious-based organization, and Jefferson Area Board for Aging, Ravana Louisa Housing Foundation, Ravana Conservation Society, and you do donate to them regularly on a yearly basis. This would be great if the second, the clause on that first sentence wasn't there.
But can they change their purpose, their name,
Well, I don't think they're using
the law.
I don't think they're using this religiously. I just think they're saying that these are Christian acts to do.
Right.
These are acts to help their fellow man.
Could be the Flavanna Good Deeds Society, but the problem is the way it's formed now and structured. In talking to the county attorney and what other localities do, I'm not sure we can get around it by state law. You don't have the authority to do something that state law doesn't implicitly allow you to do,
well,
because we're dealing
in this case the other way around. state law expressly prohibits you from doing.
But they don't pay anything now. They have to build it twice back.
They probably should have been paying right along.
Probably.
So if we hadn't ever moved them, it would never even brought up.
Well, the agreement expired years ago. There's never been an agreement since 2003 because it was extended in 2000 and then extended to 2003, but nothing was ever followed up on. So there is no existing agreement that's in effect right now that I can find in records.
Well, not to bore you, but this is a very old historical principle in Virginia that extends at least to the Revolution. So there's some very elaborate arguments to be made about it, but suffice it to say that I think the statute is pretty clear, and we're bound by the statute, like it or not.
Yeah, we all like it.
Well,
you're entitled not to like it. You're just
I'm
not
hoping that we're going to do everything we can to find a way to
and
get this done.
You said we cost about
possible.
You said $600
a year.
This is a ground lease. This is a ground lease, so it's not like you're leasing a building.
Right.
You're only
so
leasing
$50 a month, and I understand that for FCSS, that's not an unsubstantial amount. I'm just positive as a private citizen that we can very easily find enough to cover that in a year.
Okay.
But I just don't know any other way to recommend to you how to get around it because of the current state law.
You know, I never knew that the FCSS provided the food. I thought it was social services.
Mm. There's so much interplay here between MACA, the Monticello Area Community Action Agency, FCSS, through the food bank program, social services, and other agencies, but the legwork, the fundraising, the collections are done largely through all FCSS volunteer efforts. Certainly MACA supports it, and there's lots of avenues that things come in, but FCSS has done incredible yeoman's work for decades in our community, and
you need
there's really
credit.
No other source.
You deserve more credit.
But any money that's taken out for rent is what will be taken away from
the citizens, right.
Yeah. And we pay our own electric bill. That's the only bill we have. And we do pay our own electric bill, so it hasn't cost the county anything.
Right. Is there some way that the county could help you, like something on our webpage, fan mail?
Oh, we can, for fundraising efforts, we have to, that's a shaky one.
Could you just put on the fan mail that this is a service and their address?
Well, it's probably better if MACA or other agencies put it on there. We do some announcements periodically, but we just have to be careful about advocating for one organization that may be religious, that has a religious base to it.
Do you have a website?
Before we could have done anything, we need to have a commitment from you guys to tell us what we have to pay, where it's going to be, and how long can we be there. I can't send out any forms asking for funding until I have the county's, what we can do.
Yeah.
There's no sense of
essentially
threat.
For you all, 5 years, but in perpetuity. But to be re-looked at every 5 years because you have to base it on fair market value. So if it were $600 a year now, maybe it's $625 5 years from now. I don't know. But you can't obligate a future board to a certain set amount when it's based on fair market value by law. Now, I think one of the ways you can probably help out here is that the value of that stick-built building is going to be, it's a pretty nice building.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
I think you should just move on right now and just say, sure, maybe this is a good idea, but
Public Works might have to just electrify the building.
I don't want to really do that, but we will be neighborly.
You know,
and that building that we need, that we do really want, will be
We have 50 some churches in Savannah County. And I know that there are churches that commit to taking certain things to the food pantry.
Yep.
Someone says, we're going to take beans. My church may say, we're going to take rice and macaroni. You know, my church would be willing to say, we would give $50 a year
If every church gave $10 a year, it would cover it.
Every church gave $50 or $10 to would cover it. It's not a lot of money. You can hold a basket, and so many people have been helped.
Yep.
When we talked about this in the beginning, I remember saying, okay, we charge them $1 a year.
But the problem is the law says we can't.
We can't. We don't.
Okay, we can put a zero behind it, make it 10.
The law says you have to make it based on fair market value.
If it's not fair market value, it's a donation.
Right, okay.
Something like Boys and Girls Club of America is considered non-sectarian.
That's correct.
So they want us to say we want to go along with this project.
Well.
And we need to find out what the fair market.
I think if you say we're willing to do a lease with you for 5 years with automatic renewals, but still looking at the fair market value, and that we want this to be a long-term relationship, I just don't think you can say we will sign a 99-year lease for any amount.
Right. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I have no objection to that.
Yeah, I believe it.
There's
definitely
need. I have no objection. There ought to be some way.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I agree because I know how much work they do and how much they benefit our county, but it is a really slippery slope when you think that this is a really good thing, but your successor thinks something else is a really good thing. And if it were legal, I'd be advocating to you to do it. I just don't know a way to do it other than fair market value. And the fair market value will be as reasonable as we can make it. And the value of the other building will be as good as we can make it, and the help will be as strong as it can be without violating the law.
Okay, sounds good. I agree. I think
that answer.
Basically, folks, we're going to do whatever we can legally to help you, and we're not done looking yet.
But we do, from the board, have a long-term commitment for you to be cited at Carriersbrook on that property. Well, if you want to approve a motion tonight, we've already got a draft agreement, and it's for 5 years, and it just has to put the dollar values in. You can approve a motion to approve the agreement executed by the county administrator, subject to agreement as formed by the county attorney.
But we need to have in writing, you were talking about when we get these buildings, I've already talked to people about the funding and the project.
Come on up here.
We just need to get you on the microphone.
I've already talked to different places, Lowe's and Walmart, and all written to different places about getting grants to buy these two buildings. In order for us to really do that, we need to know that, are you going to do what you said about the land, putting in the sand and the gravel? Are you going to move, you're going to give us a, I'm sorry, I need it in writing.
You're not going to get some of this in writing. I don't know how to do it.
Well,
you'll get an agreement to have the property cited. I mean, that's what the board can legally do, is you'll have a formal written agreement between the County of Flavanna and Flavanna Christian Service Society to cite the food bank on that site. The board's already said, though, that we'll do whatever we can to help within the bounds of the law, and I'd rather not talk much more about it.
Okay, no, I understand. It was just from our initial meeting and this meeting, there's different things that have come up that I understand that you had to look into more things.
Right.
But so do we.
Yeah,
so
no,
thank
I understand.
You very much.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna happen.
We'll be
if that
generous
ground,
and helpful.
If somebody just happened to show up with a skid steer that ground was
it's probably gonna
level.
Probably gonna be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you have a motion?
So you always have to make one up. Let's go back to
this is presentation stuff. And the public doesn't know that action is going to be taken. And I don't think it's fair to the public. Not that I'm against it or anything. I just don't think it's right.
Well, we certainly hear the board's direction on this. And
Mr. Weir's point is that
we've already prepared the lease. We don't have it with us tonight. But it is substantially in accordance with what Mr. Nichols has just described. That's what subject to some, as Mr. Nichols said, some minor tweaking, that's what we intend to bring to the board.
So we have done what the forms had said, that you need guidance.
Right, and two notes, there is nothing tying the county to a specific timeline, and there's no push to move FCSS Food Bank out. That's why I said on the one slide, the timeline is to be determined, because it really matters on your paperwork, on when they need paperwork, and their ability to then do fundraising. And there's a number of timing sequences there. I think we'll find that stick-built building is going to help defray some of these costs. And so it'd be nice if you had that agreement to buy that building.
Right.
At the same time, you're approving the
I think one other thing that they have an issue with is they need a space somewhere for the Happy Face toys.
Yeah, in the meantime, we'll figure out trying to find some place between now and Christmas.
If we can find some place.
We'll find some place. But I'm expecting this to take over the next month, to your August 5th meeting, not the next 3 or 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Now, their fundraising and their subsequent siting of the buildings and our work to support that may take longer, but should have the agreements on your next meeting.
Then that would be when we could do a formal motion?
Yeah, you would have a formal motion to approve the agreement and to purchase the building if we want to get it done.
Okay.
Because that way you'll know some dollars as well.
The lease is really more important, though, because
right.
That's the one that gets them on the property.
And you don't have a lease in effect right now, unfortunately.
Okay.
So that'll be on our agenda on August 5th.
First meeting of August.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nichols. And once again, thank you all for everything that you did.
Indeed.
All right, the consent agenda. All right, we'll now move forward with the consent agenda. S, minutes of June 21st, 2017. T, ambulance restocking agreement for cost recovery, Ms. Elliott. U, CRMF request, Levanna County Public Schools, Central Elementary, unexpected repairs. V, FY17 cell tower budget supplement. W, FY17 for life budget transfer.
I have a question on
okay,
W.
Which one?
On what that is?
W. I was wondering who oversees the money to be sure that it's used properly?
Mr. Dahl?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Who oversees the money for Four for Life budget?
So the Four for Life money, that goes to the rescue agencies, and that's it's divided equally depending upon their expenses.
And so then the way I read it, I thought the county was to receive the money.
The county gets the money, and then what the county does, the county basically just passes that money right out to all the rescue agencies based upon the call money.
Okay, that's good. I thought it would take more of the county's time and effort to do that.
We get it in, and we basically work with rescue agencies, Cheryl does, to get the call volume information. Once we have that, we submit that information on, submit the funds on.
Lake Monticello is about 55%, and then Levanna Rescue receives about 45%.
They take care of the paperwork that they have to return to them so that they know it was...
Paperwork that we get, Cheryl works with both the rescue, with Marty and both like the rescue chiefs. Get the call information.
Yeah.
And that money can only be used for certain things too.
Yeah.
It can be used for supplies, it can be used for training. So it can't be used to buy an ambulance or that kind of thing. Or uniforms and things. So they have to say they get $15,000, they have to say half of it went to supplies and half of it went to training.
This is one grant I can say from a county standpoint, it's not entirely
it's very easy.
It's not very labor intensive.
Okay, so you'll write the letter to the state explaining how it was spent.
Yeah,
yes.
It's part of the form.
I was worried that the firemen don't have a lot of time.
Oh,
no.
We do most of this stuff.
No,
okay.
This is a pretty cut and dry.
All right, thank you.
Plan.
Yeah. That's my question.
You ready for another?
Yes, sir.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
I can't even have an NRO.
Don't.
Don't start. Chair by the time.
You don't have all the bills.
All right. And we are now, I will now open the floor for the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? Seeing no one, I will now close the second round of public comment.
There wasn't any unfinished business unless you all had some.
I'm sorry, yeah. I forgot about unfinished business because we hit the new business. Hey, one thing I will say. I had somebody bring this up to me. A constituent emailed me and just food for thought, something to think about, possibly doing a monument in honor of fallen soldiers with Dakota in mind. So that's something I think would be worthwhile looking into.
If you want to
possibly do something at a roundabout.
If you want to do a bridge, or even the roundabout, theoretically it can be done, but if you want to do a bridge, there's a specific process we follow through the state to get
like this
done.
One around here is VR. I was just thinking putting up some kind of monument somewhere, you know, even if we put some up that we could add to the list.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tragedy. I hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we had a young sailor killed on this bridge. Not the big bridge, the small one over the creek. So I wouldn't necessarily want to do that one. There were some signs up there for several years.
Was that the one about a year ago or so? Or?
No, six or seven years ago.
That was
motorcycle.
Okay.
Hit the fire truck.
Motorcycle. Okay.
I just thought the constituent.
Yep. No, I've heard the same thing in the community.
Possibly at the roundabout, just put a flag up or something. I know it'd be something else that somebody have to go by and raise a lore, but.
Well, the normal around the Commonwealth is the John Doe Memorial Bridge or the Jane Doe Memorial Highway, and then that person's name is there for the troopers or for military members. You see them all around the Commonwealth. Do you want something like that or something different?
Well, a small plaque could be put, say, at Pleasant Grove in front of the flag there. That's a small thing.
I was thinking just some kind of stone monument, plaque.
If you put one in the traffic circle, no one's ever going to be able to see it.
Right.
Nobody's going to stop there.
They can't get out and get into the traffic circle.
They had to play
in
your
idea. Yeah, you can probably get a small monument, a few $1,000 if that. We can list
all. Okay, so we'll investigate opportunities for the flagpole at Pleasant Grove Park.
Right.
It'll be pretty prominent right there.
I've said that before with the emancipation.
We don't have anywhere that we identify Fluvanna men and women who died in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, a lot of people in Fluvanna died in the war. So how do we?
Well, you would probably use that opportunity to recognize those.
Yeah.
Well,
but then
now you're getting into two different things because Seaman Rigsby didn't die in a war or a war zone. Mm-hmm. And so
killed while serving, I think, is really.
But.
Yeah.
It's food for thought. We can think about it and come up with something.
I'll look at some ideas.
That's why I said something about a wall or a plaque or something that we can add names to.
See, if our park idea was Monument Park, that's where you could put your recognition right there.
You could do that.
With all the Civil War Park. If I don't know you.
Veterans Park.
Yeah, then we could do.
Rename
it again and put everything right there. I mean, that's the story. That's what I've been screaming.
Don't we have a Veterans Park down on where 6 meets 15?
It says Veterans Park, and that's for, is that for all veterans or World War I?
I don't know.
I'm
that.
Not sure.
I don't think that's. I don't think the county did that.
No, it didn't. The individual did. Mr. Trample.
Right.
Did that years ago.
Once again, if you put something there, that will never be seen.
Right. Yeah, and this park or Pleasant Grove Park or someplace else in the county where people, where cars stop, where people walk, would seem to make would be more convenient for folks than driving by something. The ones that are around the Commonwealth, the sign honoring someone are generally folks.
And I don't think you can
service members or military members or police that were killed in the line of duty. We'll take, I'll look up, call the list of ideas and look at some stuff and see.
That's specific. Dick Bucci mentioned traffic calming again around the Ravenna gate. That whole area as well, too. Dick Bucci mentioned traffic calming measures for the Ravenna gate. Just you know, when we're continuing to work with VDOT on that, so I'm just passing that along.
On the Riverside gate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that whole area. That,
okay.
You know, what we talked about last time that I'm passing on his comment.
It's got a turn lane going into the lake, but doesn't have one going into the community, Riverside community across the road.
Well, but I mean, he's just talking about that whole area.
Yeah, and
basically reducing the traffic and what I mentioned before. Which
well,
was
people fly up the hill. I mean, they come from the dam up the hill.
It's a little silver.
Darn fast.
It's a little silver.
Because I came out in and out of that gate every day for 5 years.
That thing
and you can get
silver car.
Overcome really quickly by a car.
I have a concern that maybe I could direct to you. I spent the morning with a family who lives on 250. They live right across from the subdivision Fieldstone. Yeah, and on
right there, Beaver Dam.
Just past Beaver Dam.
Past Beaver.
It's on Indian
Redskin.
Redskin Road. They have a little 5-year-old girl, and they're going to have to be putting her on the bus to go to kindergarten, and they're extremely concerned because there's so many heavy truck traffic on 250, and you know, I can talk to VDOT, but can we have some more police maybe giving tickets to slow people down?
You could get them to send an email with the location for we do select patrols and things like that all the time for areas that have speeders.
Okay.
And some of those areas, like y'all were talking about, the highest ticket I've seen at the sewer plant was 79. And the fastest on 53 was 102. And that was in the middle of the night, and it involved doing the chase after.
Yeah.
So people do, they become complacent when they live in an area. Several months ago, that we were asked to do Poplar Springs over by my house, and every ticket we wrote with people that lived there.
I live there.
And I think the little road you're talking about is the Fieldstone.
Across from Fieldstone.
Across from Fieldstone.
Right.
Redskin
Lane.
Yeah.
It's less than 100 yards on it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to go any time we have complaints, we do saturate this area. I say information on the state police, and they do be reliable. I guarantee you the number of tickets this year are probably double what they were last year.
Yes.
And it's really, there are really good solid tickets too.
But that's probably on 53, a lot of that. I hear it is.
You'd be surprised, these back roads are.
Is that right?
People come to replace them.
The state troopers are charades on 53.
Yeah.
They've got
my
dollars.
From here all the way up to Food Line.
Man.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say from right here to the Texas Jack.
That's true, to the sign on right
there. The state troopers there quite often.
Yeah.
The turn lane into Fieldstone, she said that many people, when she's trying to turn, they go into the turn lane to pass her so that they don't they don't stop.
Yeah.
Good example is we just put two cars in the service that are unmarked, and they're one's white, one's black, and the deputy, both of them told me you would not believe what people do in front of us, passing us on the double yellow line, and all of a sudden they would just write in tickets nonstop because people don't see it marked.
They passed us going to orange once, you remember,
mm-hmm.
speeding around us.
Yes.
Well, that's a ticket I wrote to somebody on Hayden Martin, passing me and another car on the WL line.
Oh, okay.
I with $1,000 fine.
Yeah.
I was driving in the driver's aid car, and it's amazing. I mean, if I would put a camera there for y'all, I was driving by the school board office in Company 1. Double line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid goes, oh, God. I went,
And all of a sudden, I look in the mirror, and here comes a box truck passing two other vehicles behind us and him. And
can we make citizen arrest?
No,
you actually can.
You can get the license plate.
The license plate, identify the driver.
Yeah, I call.
I couldn't do that, but I went. Please tell me.
Last thing, we don't crazy stuff.
589-82.
I got him on speed dial in the car.
Yeah, that's fine. You got definitely to get out here and drive the truck.
Some of them are drunk.
Yeah, they're when I see people leaving, they're either texting or they've been drinking. But I just push the bottle down in the car and call straight to the 911.
Thing at night when you watch somebody drive, they have their little computer in there. It shines in the
face. Yeah, you can see the light. Right.
Yeah, and you. It really looks strange in there.
And I wish it were just young people, but I see people my age and older that are texting and reading their phones in the car.
Are they my age?
most people don't live out there. No, I mean, that's what I mean. There are a lot of people.
You don't have a text. You got a telegraph in there.
Yes, yes. Telegraph. Yes. Tony.
This is done. I'm sorry. I totally lost control. All right. Now, closed meeting, Mr. O'Brien.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into closed meeting Section 2-2-3711A1, Section 2-2-3711A3, Section 2-2-3711A5. Section 2-2-3711A7, Section 2-2-3711A8 of the State Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, and other. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. You are now in closed session.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned to the Savannah County Board of Supervisors to be again in open session. We deal with all the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that, to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were approved by the motion. The closed meeting was convened for her discussion or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Motion been made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We're now back in open session. We have, public hearings.
And Mr. Thompson's presentation is rescheduled.
He I was going to say, I didn't see him when
he
I walked in.
He wanted to reschedule for another date, so.
Sounds good.
It was originally on your
So we will reschedule Mr. Thompson's public hearing. Put it up. Certificate of commendation.
Yep.
Next item is tab XYZ, Open Container Ordinance Amendment. A public hearing. Let's see. Mr. Payne?
Mr. Chairman, this is an ordinance change which was recommended by the sheriff. The substance of it is that it will provide a county remedy for public consumption of alcohol in public places. Note that it only does apply in public places, such as public parks or streets or sidewalks, things like that. The sheriff believes that will tend to make it more enforceable to keep orderly situations in public places.
All righty. Are there any questions from the board? None? Okay. Do we have any questions? No questions?
Open the public hearing.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to this ordinance at this time? Okay, if no one else wishes to speak, we will close the public hearing. All right, any questions or comments from the board?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve an ordinance amendment entitled an ordinance to the Savannah County Code by the addition of 14 of a Section 6 concerning prohibition of open or opened containers of alcoholic beverages in designated public areas and on county public property exceptions.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Seeger, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next item is tab A, Sheriff Designation Ordinance Amendment. Mr. Payne.
Mr. Chairman, this deals with the subject of trespass notices. If you recall, the usual way there are two usual ways to prevent trespassing on private property. One is to post them with no trespassing signs, appropriate design. The other one is to give a notification to a particular person or persons that he's not allowed on the property. You can do that by a written notice. You can do it orally. The problem is that the owner of the land may not know who's trespassing, and he may not be around when the person trespasses, so he can't come up and say, "You're prohibited from coming on my property." So what this ordinance does is it has a specific enabling statute, and the intention of the enabling statute was to allow a landowner to authorize the sheriff in writing to serve as his agent for prohibiting somebody from coming and trespassing on his property. It's particularly useful in the case of somebody that doesn't own the property in question. Maybe he lives elsewhere, or it's not residential property, or whatever it might be. And again, this one's recommended by the chair.
All righty, are there any questions from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak may approach the mic at this time. Seeing none, we'll now close the public hearing. All right, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve an ordinance amended entitled, an ordinance to amend the Savannah County Code by the addition of Chapter 14 of Section 5 concerning designation of the sheriff as a person lawfully in charge of the property for the purpose of permitting another to go or remain upon land to building or premises of the owner.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. The next item is tab B, Zions Crossroad Water Sewer Project VRA Bond Public Hearing. And Mr. Dahl, there is absolutely a whole bunch of pressure on you because everybody else has been great.
I can't do it as fast as Mr. Payne does. I'll try though.
He's young yet, he'll
work. So we're here to have a VRA bond sale public hearing for the Zions Crossroads Water and Sewer Project.
Yes, sir.
So public hearing requirements. So per Virginia Code 15.2-2606, before final authorization for the issuance of bonds by locality, governing body of the locality shall hold a public hearing on the proposed bond. The notice shall be in two successive weeks in the newspaper, which we did. We had the Savannah Review. It'll state the maximum amount of the bonds, the use of the bonds, and the time and place for that hearing, which it did. So just a financing update. As you all know, this financing is through the Virginia Resource Authority, Virginia Pool Financing Program, their summer pool. By going this route, it saves on cost of issuance costs, and also we get the benefit of getting the Commonwealth's AAA, AA interest rates, and as I've shown you before, the interest rate trends have been right between 2.95 to 3.24% in like a 4-month period of time. So hopefully they stay around that rate threshold. Again, timeline: May 1, we submitted the application to the VRA for $8.5 million. June 1, the county's loan request was approved by the VRA. June 21, the Board of Supervisors adopted a resolution for a not-to-exceed $8.5 million max principal amount, 20-year term, and a max rate of 4.25%. June 23rd, VRA received all of the approvals, specifically the resolution. And then speaking back to the advertisements, we had those in the Fluenta Review on June 22nd and the 29th. And today is the public hearing for the financing, and assuming the board wants to finalize this, then they would approve a final resolution which ratified the resolution from June 21st. And then, as we said, the tentative bond sale date for this transaction would be August 2nd.
All right, are there any questions from the board? Oh, never mind.
Two more slides.
I thought you hesitated on me. I thought you were done.
No. So this slide right here just shows total project cost estimates.
You've got the sheet in front of you, hard copy in front of you.
This big sheet right here, the 8.5 by 14. So, you know, a lot of the components of design have been paid for already and have been cash funded. There are a few components of this that we have estimates for in here, for like real estate acquisition services, right away, some legal costs. But like I said, those are just estimates. When you're looking at, if you're looking at the screen, line 11 through 14.
There's sheet 7 on there too.
Oh yeah, that's right. And on your sheets is line 11 through 14. So those are some estimates of costs that we have just to kind of move forward. But a lot of the items in green, which are lines 3 through 10, those have already been approved and been cash funded by the board for this project, for the design component. We've shown you before also that there's going to be construction phase services, which is basically administration and inspection along the whole route of the project for the entirety of the project. There'll be project managers as far as engineers and all that doing inspections along the whole project. So that's the construction phase services for a total of $635,000. And when you're looking at some of the stuff, all I really did was, when I looked at the construction portion of the project, and between the construction and the wastewater, it broke out to about like a 60-40 split on the cost. So I just kind of broke those costs out accordingly also under construction phase services. And we kind of did the same too, to split out the cost between the water and sewer system for all the design components above too. It's like I said, just to kind of break it out a little bit more. We've talked to the board about the construction costs, the actual building and construction of the project, which is the $9.3 million. And then in that, we had a $930,000 contingency in there. So right now, the whole project from the very beginning, when we go back to the PER that was done by RK&K back in 2013 or 2014, I can't remember when. And when you talk about all the design components, you talk about construction phase services and the construction and the contingency, total project cost would be about $11.9 million when it's all said and done. Right now, the board's already funded $757,000 for that project, which leaves about $11.2 outstanding. And then if we get the debt proceeds of $8.5 million, that's going to leave about $2.7 for cash funding the project.
So that's assuming the contingency is used.
That's assuming that the contingency
right.
is used, correct. So,
and that does not include the construction costs for the extension?
That does not.
Right. It includes design costs.
Design costs, but does not include construction costs for the extension.
Right.
And depending on how that all shakes out. So that's kind of where we are. Like I said, you know, if you don't use a contingency, yeah, that amount will be reduced. And it's also going to depend upon also once we get into the project, we start putting out invitation for bids, where those bids come back at, you know. Either they're going to come right on point, or hopefully they'll come in less than where they are, but I don't think they'll be getting any cheaper at this point.
In terms of the costs that have already been paid for, where do they fall as a percentage of what the expectation was? Were they above, below, the full range?
Are you talking about as far as what the actual costs
yeah,
are?
PER design?
Yeah, PER design.
Those were right on target because
yeah.
they were close.
Right.
you approved those about the same time you funded those. And so those have been incrementally done when they were done. Yeah. The problem is the construction costs are a year old now, and the original discussion on construction costs is 4 years old.
So design, for example, that was $480,000.
Yeah, I mean, the
you're
design
total at $756,000 on design PER.
Right. Yeah,
just
those
top ones, the ones that are green.
When we did the original RFP for the design for this, I mean, they gave us a whole slew of a big task order list of everything from design to construction phase services. So those amounts are what those amounts are. They haven't changed.
The original 650 that we had estimated did not include surveying. And so with surveying, you're at 770. And what you've spent so far, if you had the 120 for surveying onto the 650, you're at 770. What you've spent so far is 756,105. So you're right on target on that side. But those costs are much easier to manage than construction, because every time construction slips, if the market's going up or down.
And these include the ones that we approved May
tonight.
Tonight.
Yes. These include what you already approved earlier.
You said 756.
Yeah, it's actually 757, 780. On here, the numbers actually add up to 756,105. We've just got some.
There's
156 is surveying.
There's a $1,700
swing. So we're actually
off somewhere.
Under a little bit.
No, we had originally talked about $650,000 for the design crossroads, PER and design. That did not include surveying costs.
That's what I'm just saying.
So if you take the 120 surveying costs and add it to the 650.
Well, we got an aerial survey
that's
$34,000,
right.
So it's 156 in surveying.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're at 600,000 not counting the survey.
Yes.
So
yes,
good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right on target for that.
Yeah.
But again, those are easier costs to manage.
So yeah, so that's kind of where we stand. Like I said, you know, this gives you the breakout of the costs for the construction for both the water and the sewer system, and again for the contingency below. I just broke it out into kind of a nominal 40-60 split for that. But you know, that's assuming that we.
And we'll update this at every meeting whenever we talk anything for the construction project, like the one you saw tonight, where it had the line that said the total dollar for design, and then it said, here's the new thing, here's the new thing, here's the new thing. So you saw a running total. That's, we'll keep it up on here, like you do with your fund balance, when you see the list of the fund balance, the things that come on and off your fund balance.
All right. Let's see, you got a couple others? I waited for you,
Mr. Dahl. I was all over.
So like I said, this was a slide that you've seen also. This just outlines the actual construction cost of the project and the contingency. So that was the 10.2. So then use of fund balance options before this evening, we're at, and like I said, this is unaudited because as we finish up fiscal year 17, you know, we're hoping that there's going to be an election.
When will we have those numbers in there? Do you have an idea of when we file?
And in November?
Is it going to take that long?
Audited numbers, are going to be, it's not going to be until October, November timeframe for audited figures where we can start putting that, but we'll have a better idea here on revenues and expenditures where we are. I mean, well, expenditures, we started looking at that today a little bit. And
you had 5 days.
I know, slacking. So anyway, as of the last meeting where we were at about 4.8 million, but that's going to go up after the year's over and once the year ends. So after you take out the items that the board approved tonight, the 4,500, 6,800, 51,000, and the 22,000, that leaves us at 4.7. And then the board also acknowledged at the last meeting that they're going to pay for the interest payment out of fund balance also. So once you take that out, brings it down to 4.5.
That was why you were going, rather than financing the interest next year in part of the debt proceeds, just pay it in cash like you're paying your first year's house payment and not paying interest on interest.
We're not financing the payment. So anyway, we'll nominally have about $4.3 million as it stands today on the unaudited fund balance, but that amount will go up from here.
Will it do what?
Go up.
It'll increase.
It will increase.
Because the year-end closeout, whatever's left of the year-end will go back into fund balance and unless you authorize a carryover.
School's supposed to have quite a bit.
They say that, but I wouldn't...
I'm just saying that's what has been said.
Oh, they've
been
said lots of times.
They've not done what they think.
They've also said lots of plans.
I mean, in county budgets too. I mean, we just did a quick look at personnel with turnover and savings. You know, I know we've already seen some savings in personnel for this fiscal year.
Most of the personnel you hire when we hire new people are coming in less than what the previous one was. So unless you're hiring a really super special skill set, almost all of them are less than the previous. So when you have a short-term vacancy, you've got the vacancy savings plus the cost of that person versus the older person. And so there'll be some money, but anyway, we're in a good position compared to what we could have been.
And I will point out that the one street crossing that does not have a fire hydrant.
You're good.
And you can blame,
they're waiting for a tree to fall on me.
You can blame those two fire chiefs because they select.
I know. Sorry, scoundrel.
Okay. So then going back to just talking about the financing itself. So what I showed you before was kind of some rough estimates. Like I said, we're not going to know where the rates are going to be until, you know, we go to the sale on the second. But, you know, nominally right now, I mean, let's just say worst case scenario. I mean, because even though we're putting it out for $8.5 million, we may only need to borrow actually $8 million to get our $8.5 million because there might be some premium to that also. But anyway, we're going to be roughly right around. It's going to be anywhere between, if the rates were to increase drastically, which I don't foresee happening. I mean, it's going to be, you know,
under four.
But yeah, it's definitely, well, I mean, no, it's going to be, it's probably going to be closer to the, you know, 575 to 600,000 at max.
Somewhere between 550 and
600. But under four. Under
percentage
four,
wise, four. Though, what?
Under
four. Oh,
under
four. Oh, yeah, I mean.
Huh?
I mean, I'm not a mind reader. And
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Under 4%.
It'll be under 4%. I would almost.
Because it's been, the last 4 months, Michael Wood, it's been between 3.24 and 3.
But Mr. Weaver, I think it's going to be significantly less than that. I mean, like I said, we've been right around.
What's your best projection then? What do you think it could be the least amount?
Let's take
it that you could hope for.
3.25.
I think it could be at 2.75, depending on what happens.
Well, that's what
but
I was wondering.
It's not
going to
be any less than
that.
Because that's too big a change.
I understand
If you're going 50 basis points.
But we didn't mention
something
that.
Substantial is going to have to happen.
No, I think if it goes up to the 3.5%, I think that would be pretty drastic. But, you know, anything can happen. But I don't necessarily foresee that happening. But, you know, anything can happen. So anyway, you know, I think we're going to be right around that range. So we can have the public hearing right now. Like I said, if the board has additional questions.
Any questions for Mr. Dalton?
I'll ask some later.
Okay. Public hearing then.
Okay. All right. Hearing no questions from the board. Okay. We will now open up the public comment.
Public hearing.
A public hearing, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? Seeing none, I will now close the public hearing. All right, are there any questions or comments from the board?
Yes. Looking at the policy impact under that, it says government fund debt service expenditures as a percent of total government fund operating revenue should not exceed 12%. So when we look at this, in year 17, we're going up to 16.5. And by the time we get to the year 19, we're going up to 19.5. That's an 18% increase. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so, like I said, Mr. Weaver, the debt service ratio is going to go up. I mean, the debt service ratio was over its limit as soon as the county took out the high school debt. End of story.
And has been ever since.
Has been ever
since. Yeah, which is no surprise. So but now we're going on up to 19.5%.
That would be the maximum that would go in, and that is the maximum. That's kind of our peak of our debt service point right there. Because that's when all the debt in full principal and interest payments come due.
So that's actually, though, an 18% increase
and
from the 16.5 to 18 to the 19.5. right?
Yes, and that's based upon, that's these numbers are based upon revenue figures, because I,
right.
I said, I don't
based
know.
Upon what
no, but he's asking from 16.5% to 19.5%, that's an 18% increase.
Yes.
Stipulated.
Yes. Okay, then our present debt is $100 million right now,
yes.
Approximately.
Yes.
So 18% of that takes us up to $118 million, is that right?
We're not going to go above probably around the 105, because even though we're taking on additional debt every year, we're paying off.
We're losing two and a half to 3 million on high school alone.
No, it's going to be about 5 to 6 million.
Yeah.
And even I think in one of the years when we get up to 18, it's going to be about $6 to $7 million that we're paying off in principal, because if you remember the.
So that makes us 111 million then, approximately.
No. Mr. Weaver, the percentage. The difference between 16.5 and 19.5 isn't a direct correlation to the amount of debt we have. It's a correlation to the amount of dollars you have in your operating budget.
It's the amount of your debt service expenditures based upon your revenues. That's what that percentage gives you.
So you're not necessarily increasing debt by $18 million.
No.
I mean by
So what would that be then? Would you? Project that. I'm just sort of curious
so
to look at the numbers.
Do we have a chart that shows the debt line? And we have one in here.
Yeah, but it's not
not up to date.
It looks like it maybe be 110 then, or 111 rather.
No,
I would think 109.
I was looking at it, and it wasn't looking like it was going to be more than at its peak. The most that we would have would be 105 to maybe 110. That was, and I'm just shooting from the hip here. I don't have the exact figures, but from what we were taking on, and at the point that we're taking on in fiscal years, because for instance, the debt that we're talking about right now, that's not coming on the county's books until fiscal year 18. So
I'm just going to your figures here.
The percentages don't apply directly across. So because it increased 18% as a percentage of revenues, doesn't mean we increased by $18 million on the $100 million debt. What we'll do is we'll bring a chart to your next meeting that shows you what those debt numbers are in a micro sense, not just a macro chart. We'll have it down to the detail level, and you can see where the ups and downs are. And then you can see that difference versus these percentages.
So you think it's going to be around 105 million?
I think it's going to be about 105.
But the year, 19. Okay.
Because like I said, we're going to be paying off about $7 million a year. $6 to $7 million in principal is what we're going to be paying off.
And that's assuming that we don't take on any more debt.
That is assuming from this point that we don't take any more debt.
And that's probably not a very good assumption.
That's right. That's what concerns me too.
Me too.
Well, I think we've done a lot of large projects right now within the past 2 years, and a lot of large projects that were needed. And someone may debate that, but I mean, I think we're taking on a lot of large projects that were needed, and some things that we're behind on, for that matter.
We need a swimming pool.
Yes, there you go. I've been waiting on that for the last year.
We need a swimming pool.
Yeah.
That's next.
I would reiterate this
capital leases. This
has the ability to proceed now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
when you think you'll see that profit?
I hope I see it.
I don't want you.
Mr. Weaver, I want to sit and have it.
Yeah,
we can work on this kind of stuff.
I want to see a problem. I'll never see it.
Yes, you will.
No.
Work faster, don't work harder.
We're talking.
You already talked about 20 years, probably at the best.
Already 100 plus jobs in the year.
Yeah, give me a break.
No, that's true.
So yes, we did. We've taken out debt in the last couple of years.
And you all need to
You are bringing on new jobs in this county.
And you all need to show those jobs and that progress so Mr. Weaver can...
There are new jobs coming to this county.
Yes.
25 to 30 at Zion Crossroads from
everybody who works
Lynchburg Roofing
County.
Yeah.
The roofing.
And you and I are going to be sitting up in heaven.
That's a big roof.
Hey, Don.
Yes, ma'am.
You and I will be sitting in heaven with the curly gators looking at food medicine. Look at them go. right?
Yeah.
Is there a motion?
All righty.
Any other?
Is there any other questions?
Any other questions? But Mr. Weaver, I'll come back to you showing, just kind of show me the projection.
No, I was just using the ratio.
Yeah.
Transfer it over.
Yeah,
that's certainly, I understand you're paying it off those 2 years also.
Well, but it's really good though, because some other people may use the same ratios.
Right.
The ratios don't apply straight across. So we'll
bring
a master chart that shows you that.
These don't apply.
Yeah, right.
That's,
and
like,
so we'll bring
bars
that,
you would give us,
make
a
it
head,
easier
green,
for other
red,
people to
blue.
Understand it.
Yeah, that ratio is based upon our debt expenditure versus our revenue. So I mean, if our revenues go up, like I said, I was just basing those off of fiscal year 16 revenue figures. But in two fiscal years after that 4.6 million, if it's $2-3 million higher, that's gonna lower
Some people actually follow that debt,
yep,
in this county, believe it or not.
Oh gosh, yes,
I believe it.
Every time I talk to somebody who's not particularly thrilled about county operations, it's almost always based on our county debt. So it's not like people aren't paying attention, but
well, that's good. They are.
I think so too. But we'll get a chart that makes it easier to see that trend, both on the percentage of revenue based on your policy, and one just based on debt and payoff.
And whatever the board's opinion is on the debt, I think the county's done a good job of taking out smart
and your
cheaper debt.
And your bond rating has reflected that, and you've lowered interest rates on almost every debt financing you've done.
You've made some good payoffs where you've saved the interest. That's obvious. And that's, I will say this on your evaluation, you got credit for that from me.
Thanks, sir. I didn't do it.
I know, that's a way to make him look good.
You can have Saturday.
All right. You can have the fourth off.
Okay,
Ms. Eager?
We have a public hearing.
No, but yes, ma'am, we already had a public hearing.
I would like to look at section 711, mandatory connection. I want to be sure that existing homes that are already serviced by a well and septic.
Oh, well, we've talked about that.
Yeah, but it says here.
It's a good point that you're making.
Absolutely.
Can't find, this is such a long sentence. It's,
what page is it on this?
It's
21.
Page 21.
Such building already in existence at the time the services of the system become available to it, upon such conditions as may be specified in such rules and regulations, or until such time as such approved private water and sewage disposal system shall cease to be approved. To me, that's saying that the county could say, okay, can't use that anymore, we're going to hook up.
They could.
They can.
Yeah.
They can, but I mean, that's,
but
not.
You're not going to say that. The board's
not
going to agree.
We might not be here.
This
then.
Is just, this is the VRA saying that here's kind of the basic core rules up there, but you set the rules. This board sets those rules on who's going to connect or not connect.
This follows whatever the board's rules are.
Right.
So if the board says we're not going to require homeowners to have mandatory hookup, then that doesn't.
These aren't county policies. These are how they explain how we have to follow our own county policies that we set. You're going to set those county policies.
A little bit confusing.
Yeah. I was concerned about that because I don't.
Yeah,
think
no.
A
good thing
that.
To be concerned about, but you have not set those policies yet. I'm pretty sure I know where you're going, but you have not set those, but you will be formally setting those. And no one on staff has ever talked about making homeowners connect, unless potentially their system failed.
They need to,
but maybe not even that.
Some years back, it was talked about mandatory.
Oh, some people did,
yes. That was the other
we had some other supervisors.
Yeah. That was the other water system we were talking about with Aqua.
Well,
right.
Also, the capacity is limited, so you don't want to.
That's what Mr. Stevens is talking about. Mr. Stevens is talking about that quite a bit.
Capacity.
We have limited capacity,
right.
So we do not want to require anyone.
Definitely agree.
Okay. That's.
Yes, ma'am. Good question.
No.
Anyone else? All right. Do we have a motion?
I'm with the Board of Supervisors. Resolution titled Final Resolution Regarding the Plan of Financing with the Virginia Resources Authority, which affirms and ratifies the resolution approved by the Board of Supervisors on June 21st, 2017, which shall be for a project financing term not to exceed 20 years and a principal amount not to exceed $8.5 million, and a bare interest rate not to exceed 4.25% for the design Crossroads Water and Sewer Project.
Second.
All right, we have a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Folks, before we get to the adjournment, I know that we have had one citizen that showed up, missed the public hearing, but I'm going to ask him to abide by the same rules of the public hearing. You have 5 minutes. Please keep your comments addressed to Mr. Grady. Please keep your comments addressed to the board in 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. My name is Paul Grady, and I own about 3.5 acres in the center of Columbia. The plan that has been proposed for Columbia is a very regressive plan, and before you implement it, I would hope that you would consider tweaking it a little bit to make it more progressive. First of all, I would like you to only use county money to purchase lots on the north side of Route 6. The contour lines that FEMA based their 100-year floodplain area on were drawn well over 100 years ago and are not accurate. I know on my property the contour lines show a hill that was flattened for a garden at least 100 years ago. And even if a little of the land is still in the floodplain, it is only a matter of inches deep. A foot to 18 inches of stone on top of the retaining walls that are there and a couple of truckloads of dirt and all that land would be out of the 100-year floodplain. It makes no sense to permanently take that land off the tax rolls and burden the county with having to maintain those lots as perpetual open space. Next, I would like to see the county finish the historic district application. This would then allow me to do something with my building. It is my fear that if the two oldest buildings in Columbia, the tavern and the tobacco warehouse, are removed first, then the Virginia Department of Historic Resources will probably say that too much of the historic fabric of Columbia is lost and that what's left no longer qualifies as a historic district. If that were to happen, then I would never be able to do anything with my building. In order to do something with my building, I need to move it uphill, basically straight back 100 feet. If you move a historic building that is not in a historic district, then it loses its historic tax credits and the project would not be feasible. The tavern and the tobacco warehouse could then be carefully dismantled by the county and put in storage for reconstruction later. I strongly recommend that the county create a 501c3 nonprofit community development corporation that would serve the southern half of the county, including Columbia. Its first project would be to apply for grants for a sewer system for Columbia that could be built in phases. Once the sewer system is well underway, then you have opportunities for economic development. It took me a long time to figure out the highest and best use for my property, and that is a brewery with a tasting room, a restaurant, and possibly a small bed and breakfast inn on the upper floors. I would estimate that would be an investment of at least $2 million. When the Cobb Creek Reservoir starts construction, even if there is not going to be any residential development around it, there are going to be a lot of construction workers looking for a place to spend their money. I bet we could even lure a mini Walmart to Columbia. They built one in Waynesboro. But for those two developments to happen, we would need an historic district and a sewer system. So here we are. There is an enormous amount of potential for economic development in Columbia. A brewery in Columbia could help to instigate a James River brew trail. There are a lot of people in the area around Columbia that would love to have a good restaurant to visit. Columbia needs a sewer system anyway. We could all work together to make this happen. The sky is the limit. Or you could continue down the progressive path you're on now, where you have to look your constituents in the eye and say, we support economic development everywhere in the county except Columbia, where we would rather create a wasteland that costs the county money in perpetuity. And if there is not an historic district, and if I cannot do anything with my building, then that sends me to the poorhouse for my retirement. So I have to ask you this question. How could you possibly be that cruel?
Thank you, Mr. Grady.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. All righty, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I have something. I need to be on the agenda, but our strategic initiatives, I see there in your packet each week.
I pulled it off this agenda because you have so much on there. You'll get
yeah.
a brief at your next meeting.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. It was on here for an update, but when the agenda got so full, I was worried about timing, so I pulled it off and put it on the next.
Do we have another year on this one?
To the end of 2017. It was a 2016-2017 strategic plan.
Okay.
Because you've got elections this fall,
right.
generally you would have another kind of offsite planning session in January
right.
with whatever board members happen to be present.
Okay.
And then you'd set another one, anything that carries over, any new things.
Okay.
So we'll be planning for that for January, but you'll get an update in August
right.
on the strategic
yeah.
initiatives.
You
do that every 2 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's too much work to do it every year, and it
yeah.
takes,
no,
and you
I
can't get so
wrong.
Much stuff done in a year, you need time. So every couple of
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I just wanted to. I'll look at, you know, I know.
Right, we'll give you an update that shows the greens and the reds and the yellows,
right.
and there's a lot of greens, which is good.
Yeah.
A lot of things have
okay.
been have completed out there.
I move to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. We are adjourned.